Good evening. The title for tonight's shiur was How to Break a Heart. I was going over the parsha, and it's noticeably perhaps one of the greatest emotional build-ups throughout Kol HaTorah Kula, in this week's parsha. There's a few places in the Torah where there's a shalsheles. The trap is a shalsheles. Usually a shalsheles refers to it's usually a situation where there's a tremendous emotional change in something that's going on. There was Lot leaving his hometown, and the Malachim were taking him out by his Mahama. He had this whole change of personality as he was leaving, Sedayim. He had Vayimain, Yosef, when he thought that Potiphera, he saw Ruach HaKodesh, that he was supposed to have children from her, and the Ishas Potiphera, and she saw in the stars that she was supposed to have children from him, so he thought he was doing the right thing. And then the last moment he saw the image of his father, and he got all shaken up, and Vayimain, with a big shalshal, there's the third one. You know what the third one is? Vayimar. By Eliezer Eved Avram. He was hoping the whole time that his daughter would be for Yitzchak, and now he overcame his feelings and he said a tefillah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should grant him success in finding a shidduch for Yitzchak. But in this week's parasha we don't have any shalshalas. We have a tremendous, massive emotional build-up, and we have a Vayigash Eilav of Yehuda. Yehuda's coming to Yosef, and this is the last discussion, the last give and take between Yosef as the mysterious fellow in the crown, and he's going to reveal himself. And I want to share with you a little what the Medrash says. You're probably familiar a little with it from when your kids, or perhaps your kids are coming back from yeshiva with. It's unbelievable Midrash and what was going on over here. Vayigash Eilav Yehuda. This is right after Yosef announced that he's going to be taking Binyamin as captive to be a slave for stealing the Gevia HaKesef, the silver goblet that he did the Kishuv with. And Yehuda, whose lifeline was dependent now on Binyamin, because he took responsibility for him, he couldn't have Binyamin be taken away from Yaakov Avinu. So Yehuda's coming to stick up for Binyamin. So the Medrash says as follows. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, b'shah she'tafas Yosef as Binyamin, when Yosef took Binyamin and he wanted to keep him as a slave, Amar lo Yehuda, Binyamin atatavus, v'shalom yesh bebeis Abba. Do you think you could take Binyamin and there's going to be peace at home? It's impossible. It's going to be a broken home if you take Binyamin. Miyad ka'as Yehuda, anger took him over, v'sha'ag b'koil ram, he let out such a scream, the halach koiloi tough parsa, his voice was so strong it went out many, many miles until Chushim ben Dan, who was still in Eretz Yisrael with Yaakov Avinu, heard it. The kavat me'eretz Canaan, he came running from Yaakov Avinu when he heard this scream. He came running to Mitzrayim. The shagushneim, we can't understand what this looked like. I mean, you take the words of the Medrash kepashtam. I'm sure there's tremendous depth and probably mystery and soidus and Kabbalah. Who knows what's going on over here? But the Devarim kepashtam, Chush and Bendon came, and the two of them started screaming and yelling together. Ubikshu Eretz Mitzrayim lahafik. It seemed as if the whole Eretz Mitzrayim would get overturned from the vibrations of their two voices together. A drop further, the Medrash says, Kivan Sharo Yehuda Kayis, when all the rest of the brothers saw that Yehuda was getting angry, Avheim Nizmalu Chema, they also started getting angry. Ubaat Tubares, they all started stamping on the ground. V'asu Oisa Talamim Talamim, they broke all the tiles in the house, in this palace, till all the tiles were shattered. Kivan Shira Yosef, when Yosef saw what was going on, Simanim Shel Yehuda, Shehukayis, when he saw Yehuda's anger, miyad nizdazeya. Yosef started getting scared. V'omer, and he said, oy li, oy vey, what's going to be with me? Shema yargeni. He was, kill me. What did he see in Yehuda that he got scared of? It wasn't just the screaming. Screaming didn't scare Yosef. You know what scared Yosef? Einoy shel yamin zeleges dam. He saw that Yehuda in his anger ruptured a blood vessel in his eye, and blood was coming out of his right eye. And yesh aimrim, that Yehuda was wearing 5 layers of clothing at this time. And in his anger, the buildup of his muscles and his tension was so strong that he burst through all 5 layers of his clothing. You know, like the guy that makes a big muscle and he rips through his shirt. 5 layers of clothing Yehuda ripped through. When Yosef saw that, he got scared. Okay? What did Yosef do? What was Yosef's response? My Asa Yosef, but Asa Shah, Asa Yamud Shalevin Shay Yosef Alav. This, the marble throne, he was sitting on a marble throne. But, boy, he gave it a kick with his heel. The Asoy Galso Tsueris, and it turned into pebbles. He smashed this huge throne of marble. I'm a Yehuda. Okay, now it's time for Yehuda to respond. Yehuda says, Gam ze gibar kamaisenu. Wow, he's strong like us. But Isasha achas Yehuda hacherif. Okay, now already he's got to turn to weaponry. He went and he grabbed his sword. Ubikesh l'shalfa. And he tried to withdraw his sword from the sheath. Ve'ena nishlefes. Shem made a nace. He couldn't get the sword out. Omar, he said, Bevada yori shemaimu. Ooh. This guy over here, even though he's a guy, but he must have fear of heaven and Hashem's protecting him. Medrash continues. When Yehuda started talking to Yosef, he says, "Im eshleif charbi aharig is kol mitzrayim. If I were to draw my sword, I can't. But if I were to draw my sword, I'd wipe out the whole Mitzrayim." Yehuda was stronger than Shimon and Levi. Shimon and Levi wiped out the whole Shechem. Yehuda was greater and stronger than them. So Amar Yosef, Im ata mitzia, you take out that sword. Echroich oisa al tzavarecha, I'll wrap it around your neck. I'll bend the iron. It's unbelievable. Amar Yehuda. So Yehuda responds, Ani poseach pi, I'll open my mouth. Ubailacha, I'll swallow you. Amalei Yosef, in Tiftach is Picha, you open your mouth, and he says my bev, and I'll stuff it with a stone. It sounds ridiculous. The Medrash continues, night and night, but this is a lot of the graphic part that I wanted to share with you. What struck me as very odd is that you open the parsha, and it says, Vayigash Elov Yehuda. Yehuda approached Yosef. This whole medrash is contained in just those 3 words. And the medrash is why I skipped the psukim that the medrash is based on. All of these things are based on psukim, and there's Ramazim, different psukim in Tanakh. But yeah, I was just reading you the story part of it. But all of this was contained in these first 3 words. This was Yehuda's approach to Yosef. This challenge, this opposition, this showdown between Yehuda and Yosef. And then you read the next 15 psukim, and I'm not going to read them all to you. But the next 15 psukim start, Vayomer, and he said, Bi Adoni, me, my master, take me as a slave instead of Binyamin. I'm a better slave, I'm stronger. Yidabin avdecha dova bazni Adoni, may your servant speak words into the ears of my master. Mal yichar apcha b'avdecha, don't get upset at me. Kicha meicha kefaroi, tubshatim, he was pacifying him, he was threatening him. And then Yehuda goes and he gives a whole story. He gives a pshat. You're having this massive showdown. You're having floors breaking, sound vibrating throughout Mitzrayim, trying to draw swords. They're throwing one-liners at each other I'll wrap that sword around your neck. And suddenly Yehuda asks for a shtender. There's a clap. Shh. I'm Schuldig's man. Making an appeal. 1 second. Yidaber no avdecha dover blozni adoini. I'd like to speak a few words. Please. Give me the podium for a minute. Everything stops. Everything stops. And this time, a 2-minute appeal, he gives a 15 pasuk drasha. You'd think he'd already give a good drasha. He gives a drasha that's as old as who knows what. Every single thing that transpired between them and Yosef, which Yosef was well aware of, everything Yosef knew. He just went through all the steps. We came down Mitzrayim and we wanted food and you asked us if we're spies and do you have a brother? We told you we had a brother and you sent us back to Mitzrayim and you sent us back to Yaakov. We ran out of food so we came back to you and now you are with the money and the cup and now you're taking Binyamin and I'm an Orev. This is all stuff Yosef knew. Yosef was the mastermind behind this. That was quite obvious to Yehuda. Yosef was playing games with him. So what's Yehuda going and giving a pshetel, and this time a pshetel that everybody knows already? It's nothing worse than an old speech. Did I say this before? What's he doing? And yet, we find an unbelievable thing. That this was such an unbelievable speech, he moved Yosef to the brink of emotional eruption. It says Yosef, he couldn't withstand it any longer, and he was ready to break. He quickly told all the Mitzrayim, out of here! And then he admitted. He gave a cry and a scream. Ani Yosef, hoy ravichai. The pshatel worked. 15 pasuk drasha, and it broke Yosef's heart. What was going on over here? The Brisker Rav, I hear this from his son, Reb David Soloveitchik, Shlita, Shmi Gesund. Reb David said over from his father, the Brisker Rav, that Yehuda requested, Be Adoni, Yedabeno Avdecha Dover Ba'ozni Adoni, please let me speak words into the ears of my master. And the Brisker Rav was medayik that what Yehuda was saying was, let me speak directly to you without the translator that we've been using the whole time. Throughout all their discussions, there was always a translator between Yehuda and Yosef. Officially, Yosef didn't understand their language. And suddenly over here, Yehuda says, please let me speak directly to you. In fact, the Brisker Rav, how did Yehuda expect to talk to Yosef without a translator? You mean, let me speak into your ears. Yosef's not going to understand him. There's a famous vart that the Brisker Rav said, and there's a story that went along with it, a famous story of Avram Kalmanovich, when he was part of the Vat Hatzalah, trying to save Yidden during the times of the Holocaust. They went for an appointment in Washington. I think it was with Roosevelt, who was with, you know, Roosevelt. And he asked for an appointment, and as we know that Roosevelt was not exactly a Jew lover. Sorry?
Someone named Morgenthau.
Morgenthau?
Yeah.
Okay. Because they didn't want to hear from the Jews, and they didn't want to hear the Jewish appeal, and they weren't interested. And they asked, please, Mamish, for a one-minute session. A one-minute session, one-minute meeting. Okay, what could it hurt? They finally, after pushing and pulling teeth, they finally were masking, and they gave the one-minute session, and the famous story is of Avram Kalmanovich said, give me the podium for one moment. And he stood there and he gave a scream and he said, help! And he fainted. That was it. And it produced somewhat. Somewhat it produced. They got involved and they started helping. The Brisker Rav said that Yehuda was telling Yosef, what I have to say right now doesn't need a translator. It's a much better maisa, I'll share with you. Peladiga maisa. This is not as well known. It's printed, I don't remember where, I could try to find out for you. It's unbelievable, you're not going to believe me. I'm telling you right now, you're not going to believe the story, but it's in print. It's a maisa to Baron Kotler. There was a tekufa, there was a number of yidden that were taken by the mafia, by the Russian mafia in Russia, and they were doomed. And the mafia had said that if they're not ransomed out with some exorbitant amount of money, which was ridiculous, it was impossible, it would be the end of these people. And Rabbi Aaron, in his unbelievable Lamailam and Ateva success, somehow he accessed the right people and he pushed the right buttons and he made the right phone calls and he managed to find out some major head honcho in the Russian mafia in America. And he managed to get himself an appointment to go down to this big guy in the mafia. And hopefully through him to arrange the safety of these Jews in Russia. It was a whole secretive story. They had to get a driver. And they had to go to all these places and they didn't really know where they were going. At each point where they went, there was somebody that met them and told them where the next place was to go. It was a whole secretive process to get to this head honcho. They had to make sure that there were no cops and this and that. They didn't know where they were going till finally they got to this hideout. And by this hideout, there were armed guards all over, deep in who knows where. And they finally come to this fortress of a building. And Rav Aaron is there with this younger man from Lakewood. And they had special code words and a whole story until finally they get into this guy. And this guy was sitting at this regal table. Everything was, wealth was all over the place. And he was sitting there with two armed guards right next to him. And when Rabbi Aaron walked in with this younger man, there was an escort with the two of them. They don't make any sneaky moves. And they sat down by the table. And this mafia guy said, "Speak!" So Rabbi Aaron started talking. And this younger man would translate. And they were describing the whole situation. It's a bunch of Yidden in Russia. Mafia, money, hostage, ransom. The whole 9 yards. Explained the situation. There was a handsome amount of cash that they had with them to bribe this guy. And at the end of the whole story, this mafia guy said, "It's not happening. It's not going to work." So Rabbi Aaron motions to Ingeman, "Take out the money." And right away the guards are standing there, "What's he doing with his pocket?" They see it's an envelope. And they understood. And they put down the envelope in front. "Yes, I think I need your money." He throws it back in the face. He said, "Rabbi, I want your blessing." So the younger man turns to the baron and he says, "Evil tabracha." So he says, "If I state the zach, does he understand the story that we're talking about here and how important it is?" So I think so. So the baron says, let me say over the story again. And the baron says over the whole maisa all over again. And the younger man starts translating again. And the guy says, "Stop! I want to hear the rabbi talk." And the baron launched into this 5-minute emotional story of what was going on, all in Yiddish. The guy had no clue what Rav Aaron was talking about. But he was very impressed by Rav Aaron's emotions. Now, how bothered Rav Aaron was by it. It wasn't broken up, sentence by sentence. It was a nice build-up of a story. And he saw it, and he was moved a little emotionally. And he said, "Tell the rabbi he gives me a blessing. I'll take care of him." Unbelievable part of the story. So the younger man says he's willing to go for it. He just wants a bracha. Here's this mass murderer, this wanted criminal, and Byron's supposed to give him a bracha. Byron turns to the younger man and says, "Zogem, tell him, ezol starbin in bet. He's going to die in his bed." The man turns white. That's what to say. He's getting all choked up. The guy realized something's up. He says, "What the rabbi said? What the rabbi say? Don't change it a word. What the rabbi say? The man said, Zog him. Tell him. The man said, the rabbi said, you should die in your bed. The guy was quiet. His eyes started sparkling. And he said, that is the best blessing. Anybody understands mafia? It's taka, the best blessing you could wish for. To die in bed. Not while being chased. Not in some hole in the ground while you're hiding. Not being bombed out of who knows where. To die in bed. Die peacefully. I hear Maiso, within 24 hours, the hostages were released. This Maisa was unknown for many years until after this guy died. And it was ready after Reb Aaron was nifter. Reb Schneier's Rebbetzin got a phone call from this mafia guy's son. He wants to speak to Rabbi Aaron Cutler. And the response was, he passed on. He said, is there another rabbi that replaced him? His son, Reb Schneier. Can I speak to the other rabbi? At that time, Reb Schneier was sick already. He couldn't come to the phone. He says, who, what, when? He says, the old rabbi gave my father a blessing, and it was fulfilled. I would like a blessing from his son. And that's how the story came out. Tell the Gemaisa. Sokta Briska Rav, there's something called Dvarim Shebelev. There's something called words of the heart. That a person could come with somebody who's in a whole different world. Who speaks on a whole different wavelength, has a whole different way of understanding things, and yet there's a way to get to the person's heart. I'll share with you a Medrash Rabbah, also this week's Pasha, and also describes what was going on here, but it's a mysterious Medrash Rabbah. I have it over here in the Yalkut Shmaini, brings it down. It says as follows, Vayigash Elav Yehuda, Yehuda approached Yosef. So the Medrash brings down a pasuk. This pasuk is a pasuk in Eiv, I believe. A pasuk in Mishlei, I'm sorry. Mayim amukim eitza b'lev ish, v'ish tevunais yidlena. The deep waters are the ideas of a heart of a man, and an understanding person can draw out the waters. Zog the Medrash, l'mashal l'mad av adoymeh, that there was a well in a town that had delicious, fresh water, cool, clear water at the bottom of the well. But it was an extremely deep well. And everybody in town that would wanted to get to the waters, nobody had a rope that was long enough to gain access to the waters. Until one genius came along and he said, guys, I have an idea. And he started gathering everybody's strings, threads, yarns, and ropes together. Tied them all together, one and another one, and another one, another. And before long, they had this massive, long rope, and he drew water for everybody. That's the pasuk, Mayim Amukim Eitza Belevish. Like deep waters are the ideas of a person in his heart, the Ish Tevunas Yidlena. And a person with understanding can draw the waters out. What's the next? So there's a Mishnah in Kedushin that says, the last Mishnah in First Perek in Kedushin, it's a well-known Mishnah, says as follows, Kol sheyesnei b'mikro b'mishno b'derech eretz. Whoever has these three things, he learns Mikra, Chumash, Tanakh, and he learns Mishnayis. This is the times of the Mishnayis, we couldn't say Gemara. So the times of the Mishnayis was Mishnah, that was Torah Shebaal Peh. Ube Derech Eretz, and he's also involved in the normal world around him, the business world. Derech Eretz, Midas, he's socially involved, he's socially proper, well-mannered individual. Loi b'mehera hu chayte, not too quick will he sin. Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, v'achut ha-meshulash loi b'mehera yenotik. The three-stranded thread, not quickly will it be disbanded. It won't fall apart, it won't come apart. You have the three things, gevaldik. The Rosh Hashanah says that this Mishnah can be associated to what we all know from Pirkei Avos. Yafet Talmud Torah and Derech Eretz, Sheigiyas Shneyem Mishkachas Avoin. Torah and Derech Eretz together, you're safe. Mishkachas Avoin, you forget Averis. That's not what it says here. It doesn't say you forget to do Averis. And it doesn't say the effort that you put into the three of them. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos is saying very simple. You fill up your time, you're tired from work, and then whatever extra time you have, you dedicate to learning. Who has time for Averis? You forget. Averis don't even come to mind. That's the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. And this Mishnah seems to be saying something different, aside from the fact that our Mishnah over here is splitting it up into three. Not Talmud Torah and Derech Eretz, but specifically three. And the Pasuk we're bringing is also three. Chut HaMeshulash, Leibimeri Yenatek. Seems like this Mishnah means something else. So the Maharal says, Mikra refers to Chochmas HaElokis, God's wisdom. You're reading Chumash, you're reading Dvar Hashem, you're reading Dvar Hashem. This is straight wisdom from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chochmas HaElokis. Derech Eretz, that's Chochmas B'nei Adam. That's the human psychology, whatever you want to call it, human interaction, social interaction, business, the business world, the Chachma of Teva, the world around you also has a lot of wisdom to impart. And Mishnah, he says, is Chochmas Chazal. And he says that's a shleimus in Chachma. That's a perfection of Chachma. When you have all three together, that's what the Mishnah is coming to say. He doesn't say more, but I'll share with you what I believe he's coming to say. One might have said, if you have somebody that understands business, and he understands God, what more do you need? He's a success story. He's got chokhmah, so elokis. He's learning chumash. He sees the wisdom of God. He's way up here. He's in the heavens. And he also knows the wisdom of the earth. He's great. He's perfect. Suck the Mishnah. I'll pee this. Maral. If you just have the two of them, yinotik. The word yinotik means they will be disconnected. They will part. It's impossible for a person to expect to be successful in Avodas Hashem or in general if he's got the wisdom of the heavens and he's got the wisdom of earth. They don't connect. You have to bridge the gap. And the bridging of the gap is done through Chazal. Torah says, put an ois al yadecha. What's an ois al yadecha? Put an ois al yadecha. I would put on a tzitz. I don't know, put yud kei vav kei on my hands. You know, maybe tattoo it, you know, yud kei vav kei all over the place. La ois al yadecha. What's an ois al yadecha? It's very nice. We need an ois al yadecha. Chokhmas elikis. You're missing the boat. Without Chazal's definition, you're totally disconnected. You don't know what the ice is. It's nafka when you have the three together that Chazal can bridge the two. They could bridge the chachma of the heavens together with the chachma of the earth, and they could all three now work in harmony with each other. Mayim amukim b'leivish, eitza b'leivish. You have Yehuda and you have Yosef. And they're looking at each other like each other. They're both nuts. Yehuda's screaming at Yosef. Yosef is screaming at Yehuda. They're threatening each other left and right with their lives. They're turning the whole Mitzrayim into shambles. Comes along Yehuda and he says, there's obviously a disconnecting point. He's not getting my point. I'm telling him he's kidnapping my brother. And he's not getting it. Isn't it clear? He's kidnapping Binyamin. He's making up a whole fake story. It's obvious they planted this Gaviah Kesev. They planted the money. What's going on? I can't get to him. There's some kind of disconnection. And nothing's going to work. This challenge, this opposition, the showdown's not working. Sakt Yehuda, according to the Medrash, Levish is Mayim Amukim. To come from the practical world to get to his emotions, we need to tie together many, many different parts of a story to put it together. That's how you get to the other world. It says, Asara Mamoris Nivra Ilam. The world was created with 10 utterances. It's Esher Sviros. That's 10 Sviros. That means that to get from the highest world, the world of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to a physical world that we can touch, smell, taste, and see, it had to go through a whole chain of transitions. You can't have the two just come together and be bonded. There has to be a bunch of bridges to go from completely ruchnius to gashmius. And the same way the other way around. A person's heart is in the olam ruchni. You don't want to call it ruchnius, call it, it's emotional, psychological, I don't know exactly how you want to render it. But a heart does not necessarily work with straight logic. You can't just say, you're kidnapping Binyamin! He tried to say that a bunch of times. It didn't work. No, it needs a breakdown. We have to break down the story into a bunch of its parts. I have to take one thread and another thread and another thread and another thread, and I could create a transition from beginning of the story to the end, and that's how you hit somebody's heart. In Chazal we have a number of times, there's something called, we find in Gemara, called a Tzara Shava. You have one piece of information in the Torah, you have another piece of information in the Torah. When you bring the two of them together, you have a Tzara Shava, suddenly it could create a whole new halach, a third halach. In the Gemara Saita, it says that when the Meraglim went and brought back all the fruits from Eretz Yisrael, the Gemara Saita has an equation that what one person can carry, let's say 100 pounds, another person can carry 100. You bring the two of them together, they could carry 300 pounds. Two people could carry the load of three. That only works if you're bringing the two people together. What I want to bring out with this, two nekudas. One nekuda is, in general, whenever we have mitzvahs that involve the heart. The biggest example is avodas shebalev, which is tefillah, davening. It's a mitzvah that involves the heart. We're coming from business, coming from our family, kids, home, whatever it is that we're coming from. You're coming from the very practical gashmis nigga world around us. How do you get to your heart for tefillah? How do you arouse the heart? You have a mitzvah of a havas Hashem. How do you havas Hashem? I love you. You know, smoke something, I love everything. Okay? Well, how do you love Hashem? How do you fear Hashem? There are many mitzvahs which are tluya belev. How do you love another Jew? I don't like you. How do you love another Jew? These are all things that are with the heart. How do we arouse the heart? Sometimes we're so distant from our heart. What heart? So here we have an Eitzah al-Pi Chazal. That is, and I'm going to use it in an example of tefillah, but the same thing will apply in any situation which we have to arouse the heart. And that is, what we have to do is make a breakdown of the components for what we're trying to do. Tefillah. You can't walk into tefillah direct from the world around us. It's impossible. It's two different worlds. You're talking to God on a spiritual level, and you're coming from the world of Gashmi, it's impossible. It takes a few moments. Rabbeinu Yonah says, when you walk into shul, So sit down first. Va'al tiftach peh. Don't open your mouth. It's interesting. What do you mean? Matoivu. There's a whole bunch of things you say as you go in. But before you actually start davening, he says, take a break. Take a moment. I don't know how long. It doesn't specify how long. Take a moment. Don't open your mouth. What are you supposed to do during that moment? You're supposed to be thinking, what am I about to do? I'm about to daven, of course. That's too much. One second. You're coming from the street. You're going to daven. It's not going to work. You have to bridge the gap. You have to start off and you have to say like this. Do I believe that there's a God? Yeah, there's a God. He created the world? Yeah. He pays attention to the world? Yeah. He's still controlling the world? Yeah. He's in power of the world? Yeah. Is he aware of everything in the world? Yeah. Is Hashgacha Pratis with every Jew, that he's attentive to every specific single Jew separately? Yeah. He hears a Jew when he speaks in tefillah? Yeah. Oh, so let me have a word with him. From experience, I could promise you this works. It works. Depending how much thought time, this was maybe 30 seconds, this little cheshbon. Doesn't have to take much time. Perhaps different situations may take a little more time. There's halacha, the Rambam says, we don't use it so practically. The Rambam says, it's aser. It's habam and aderech, habam and ashuk. There's a whole bunch of things that says, you're not allowed to start davening, because you can't. You can't. Your mind is torrid with worldly matters. You can't go straight into tefillah. It's halacha in the Rambam. You have to first take your time off. It's halacha. We don't. The Rambam speaks about taking a whole day off from tefillah. We don't do that because then we're never going to daven. But there is this notice in halacha that you can't go straight from the tirdas ha'olam straight into tefillah. It's avodah shebalev. It doesn't work. So practically in our world, we could, in a 30-second exercise, we could do it. 30 seconds. You're running at the tefillah, we're running late. I know we're running late. But you know what? Maybe don't even do it when you're putting on tefillah and took it to Zimra, and you're skipping in the baruch. You know what? By Hashem's fosai tiftach. Take an extra 5-10 seconds before you go into baruch to Hashem. That's it. The rest of davening, you're running through. I don't know if you're going to be able to stop for 5 seconds like Ravina Yenis says. But by Shemayin Asrei, a few seconds, Shemayin Asrei is Ikur Tefillah. And it works. Guaranteed. It works. I'm sure it works on many different levels, but on some level it'll definitely work. The second Nakuda, and this applies to every mitzvah Shebelev. Every mitzvah Shebelev. Havas Hashem. Why should I love Hashem? Why should I love Hashem? Break it down into many parts. Take a child who tests gravity, a little baby, or a child that's developing his love for a parent. A kid's not going to love his parent because just from one time, my parent gave me a Hanukkah gift. Hey, you know, we shouldn't be expecting, you know, our kids to be responding like that now after all the Hanukkah gifts they got. It doesn't happen like that. But after a development, through a long process of one step after another where a kid notices how much he's getting from his parents, after all those steps are added up, it develops in a kid a natural ahava to his parents. And this is the same thing with Havas Hashem and Yiras Hashem. My second point is a little more nageh to the shir itself. And that is, I don't know if Ilam's aware, but my father plans on moving to Lakewood. And I did not yet get message back from him. I'm hoping that next week he's still going to be here. He's moving on Tuesday. I'm hoping next Monday night he'll give a grand finale. I'd love to see a big Olam show up to say goodbye to him. And after that, it's not going to be able to be him anymore. And if anybody's interested, then I'm willing to continue if the Olam's interested. But mitzad me, I'm not as natural as my father. And the hardest part, for me at least, to prepare shir, is usually to figure out a topic to speak on. So to facilitate myself, and I believe also it'll also enhance the listeners, I would like to apply this shir. And that is, with all our midos, Midas work the same way. The way to affect a midah, anything in our hearts, whether it's chesed, yiras shamayim, kas, jealousy, kpeda, kavod, you name it. All the midos that we all have. They're all midos of the heart. And it's going to be the same process that's going to be needed to change and adjust and develop a midah would require the same thing. A breakdown and a development and a transition. That's the way to develop. And I feel that if the shiur continues after next week, then what I would like to do is focus at least a few weeks in a row on similar topics. To stick to a similar topic a few weeks in a row, and I believe that it'll have a much more profound effect on everybody's lives. Besides the fact it'll be easier for me to give the shiur, but I don't mean to say that I'm going to give the same shiur 5 weeks in a row. But along the same lines, if let's say we pick for a few weeks the topic of chesed, pick for a few weeks the topic of kina, havas Hashem, whatever it'll be, but I think that that'll hopefully have an effect upon me and upon whoever attends the shiur in terms of using this transition, that it's a bunch of details leading to the same result, and that could produce tremendous changes in one's lives. Shalom b'zaycha, taka, to reach our lave in all of our avodas Hashem.